Hi, this is Pat Fraley, purveyor of Duck, Doug, and Villain voices. And you're listening to the GeekCast Radio Network.
There's 104 days of summer vacation, and school comes along just to end it. So the annual problem for our generation is finding a good way to spend it.
Like maybe
building a rocket or fighting a mummy or climbing up the Eiffel Tower. Discovering something that doesn't exist, or giving a monkey a shower. Surfing tidal waves, creating nanobots, or locating Frankenstein's brain.
It's over here!
Finding a dodo bird, painting a continent, or driving our sister insane.
Idiot!
As you can see, there's a whole lot of stuff to do before school starts this fall.
Come on, Barry!
So stick with us, cause Phineas and Ferb are gonna do it all. So stick with us, cause Phineas and Ferb are gonna do it all.
Mom! Phineas and Ferb are making a title sequence!
I know what you mean, Ferb. It does seem like more than 104 days.
Hello and welcome to episode 74 of Palco, brought to you by the GeekCast Radio Network. I am one of your hosts, TFG and Mike. Joining me, as always, is Pecan Core Michael. Hello, how are you?
I'm good.
I told you I was going to fuck it up.
You just...
It's all nothing but furbin shit around here, folks.
Furbin the whole thing. Mm-hmm. Hey, how's it going?
I just want it to stop. Completely stop. Today is the 74th day of summer, and this means that we have 30 days of episodes left. We have 1 month of content left before we are finally finished with this 4.5-year-long summer that we've...
Summer's taking a long time.
I know, right? The interesting thing is, I actually did this because I wanted to make sure that, you know, he realized that it was all in fun. But because whenever anyone emails us to the feedback at geekcastradio.com, we obviously get their email address kind of thing. So I emailed our buddy Joe over there at the Mysteries of Milo Tumblr blog. I emailed him and said, hey, you know, here's the episode with your voicemail. And once I realized what your first name was, I kind of had a little bit of fun with you. His response, awesome. I've only been listening through the podcast since the day episode 61 came out. And I'm already up through episode 60. So he went back and listened to the first 60 episodes. So thank you so much, Joe. He says, I'll definitely cross-promote the podcast on my blog as well. P.S. Even before listening to this, I'm hoping what you did has something to do with Quantum Boogaloo. My reply to him was, you should have seen my face during the podcast recording once it actually dawned on me what I could actually tie it to. Because literally my face just kind of like exploded with joy after I realized that.
It's the joy-seeking missile on its way to your house.
That's right. No diddle, diddle, diddle.
So much joy.
Yeah. Oh, crap. But we are here, and we have technically four, but three episodes of Phineas and Ferb from Season 3 to talk about. Up first is the two-parter Excaliferb.
Well, how are we doing today, Major? Feeling better?
Carl, what are you doing here?
Your wife said it'd be okay if I came up here and kept you company. Would that be all right? I brought a book.
What kind of book?
It's a fantasy adventure with wizards and knights.
Are there woodland sprites?
Well, there's water sprites.
Go ahead.
Devote your mind to this tale of the distant past and the adventures that did befall the most noble of knights, where stood the cottage of the humble antique dealer.
Cheerio, dear. I'm off to hide these common objects for a couple of hundred years until they become valuable.
Don't forget to put hay in the ox.
Oh, boy. Get your Phineas and Ferb out of my King Arthur. So anyway, during medieval times, Phineas and Ferb, or Ferbalot, set off on an epic quest to find the legendary sword Excaliferb, so they can defeat the evil sorcerer Maleficentmertz.
Yeah.
I think this cartoon has the most interesting Doofenshmirtz Evil Incorporated.
Maleficentmertz Evil Incorporated, but not really or
corporation because corporations haven't been invented yet, so it's more like a guild or a tradesman association.
But not really a corporation because corporations haven't been invented yet, so it's more like a guild or a tradesman association.
Yep. I was wondering how they were going to get away with doing the Doofenshmirtz Evil Incorporated theme song, and that's pretty genius.
That's how they did it.
Yep.
Double episode. Hey.
Double episode. Hey.
I was not expecting a double episode. I just tripped over myself, though. I'm like, nobody expects the double episode. But I'm getting ahead of myself. Do you? I know that you're not into Monty Python.
A little bit. Not much, but a little bit.
A lot of these things are going to, you're going to go over your head. They're going to go past you. So
probably.
But I enjoyed them. I got the Holy Grail references. I got the Spanish Inquisition references. Just a lot of Monty Python here.
I mean, I got the highlights of it. The only thing they're missing is a French tontor. or a French tauntaun.
A tauntaun? Away, or I shall taunt you a second time.
Second time. Yes. See, I get certain Monty Python things. I just haven't seen all of Monty Python.
Ah, oh, yeah. And the rabbit. Everybody gets the rabbit.
Yeah.
Should have put a rabbit in here somewhere.
Well, doesn't Reggie the Rogue Rabbit come back at some point? I don't know. I don't remember. Remember the one episode with the rabbit?
The rogue rabbit.
When Candace was like, oh, he's so cute, blah, 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 but he was really a rogue agent trying to get into Alka. Anyway, I know I'm not dreaming this up, and I'm pretty sure this already happened.
Well, I don't know. Maybe we'll get to it.
Maybe.
Okay.
What else did you like about this one?
The whole bookend of Carl reading Major Monogram a story was very Princess Bride.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. You know, 30 years from now, Deadpool will have duct taped Major Monogram to a bed to make him reenact these scenes.
Hey, as long as Deadpool includes Nickelback, I'll be fine. Because according to Deadpool, Nickelback is amazing.
Sure. All right.
Yeah, okay, so since you're the one that took me down this rabbit hole.
I brought up Deadpool. I apologize.
Yeah, so when they were doing the Once Upon a Deadpool things and they were doing the advertisements for the Once Upon a Deadpool version of whatever.
Yes.
Whatever.
Yeah.
He's reading stories to Fred Savage. At one point, they bring up Nickelback and Fred's like, well, except for Nickelback, because they're garbage. And Deadpool's like, hold the phone, shut up, you were nicer as a kid, blah, 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 blah. I'm going to send you this video later so you can watch it. By the end of it, they're both singing and humming along to How You Remind Me, because during the ad, little bits of the song come in and they just kind of have this. But anyway, yes.
Yeah.
Ryan Reynolds, Canadian God, Deadpool, Nickelback lover, all that good stuff.
Once upon a Deadpool.
Kind of prefer Marvel movies.
We are Marvel.
Yeah, but you know, you're Marvel licensed by Fox. It's like if the Beatles were produced by Nickelback. It's music, but it sucks.
Hey, that's it. I'm done. I've had it with all this Nickelback hating, right? You think that makes you cool with the cool kids in school, Fred?
No, it just makes me right.
It doesn't.
They're overproduced, formulaic, ear garbage.
Oh, really? You know who might disagree with that? Facts. 50 million albums worldwide. 11th best-selling musical act of all time. Billboard's most successful rock group of the last decade. 6 Grammy nominations, 12 Juno Awards. Those count. 6 Billboard Music Awards, 2 American Music Awards, 1 People's Choice Award, Canadian, and a partridge in a pear tree.
Sorry. I thought we were just having fun. I didn't realize it was
You know, you were, you gotta say, you were nicer as a kid.
Tired of living like a blind man.
Sick of sight of a sense of feeling. This is how you remind me.
This
This is how you remind me of what I really am. This is how you remind me of what I really am.
Did you actually see that version of the movie?
No.
Oh, see, I watched it with my kids because it was the not rated R version.
Uh-huh.
And they liked it. And the whole Princess Bride send-off was awesome. Fred Savage is like, I can't feel my legs. Because he's duct taped to the bed.
Yeah.
It's awesome. Good times. Yeah, so... What else do I like? The Lady of the Puddle is Vanessa.
That's right. Obviously.
Always get bonus points for Vanessa. Vanessa's mom shows up because she's the lady of the lake.
Again, tying into the whole Arthurian thing. And I mean, as soon as I saw the title, I'm like, oh, Excalibur, really?
Yeah.
I mean, I get it. They couldn't exactly call it Excalibur, and it actually ties into Ferb's name. And I figured they were going to do some sort of Lady of the Lake thing. I was just waiting for Vanessa to show up as Morgan Le Fay or something instead. Why had she showed up as Lady of the Puddle?
Lady of the Puddle. You know, it's funny. You know, when you said, "Oh, it's Arthurian legend," I didn't even place our Arthurian legend because for me, the Holy Grail. You know I know what where you're going for, but Monty Python and the Holy Grail kind of steals Arthurian legend, right? And for me, that is Arthurian legend. Is Monty Python, and he's like, so, oh, what was it? It's like water retards chucking swords is not a system of government. I don't do it justice, but yeah. It's like, who is that? Oh, he says he's a king. Well, how do you know? Oh, because he's the only one that doesn't have shit on him. Because everyone else is a peasant.
Yes, peasant.
I'm sorry. You know, I, if you haven't seen it yet, I'm not sure we can be friends. Oh. You'll have to run out and watch it in its entirety.
Okay, then. Carry on.
Yeah, so I was right. Dennis the Rabbit. His debut was No More Bunny Business.
Dennis.
And Return of the Rogue Rabbit is a season 4 episode. However, No More Bunny Business was season 2. So I knew I was right.
Yeah, sure. Okay.
Yeah, sure. Okay.
Yeah, you're right. I'll admit it. I was brought to my attention earlier that
I mean,
you know, I have to admit it when I'm wrong. And I'm like, yeah, I'm wrong. I admit it. Sure.
And I mean, you know, The Arthurian legend thing for me is like the whole thing with, you know, King Arthur, Lady of the Lake, and Lady of the Puddle. Oh, my mom is the Lady of the Lake. You cut to
Mrs. Smertz.
There you go. You cut to the Lady of the Lake, and Arthur is right there to the right of her. She's like, oh, kids, you're getting your own mission, your own quest too. That's nice.
Oh, nice.
Nice.
How cute. Yeah. Nice for you.
Exactly.
Lawn Norm makes an appearance.
I thought that was a clever way to.
Clever.
Yeah.
He's not a robot. He's a Lawn Norm.
Hey, what's the matter with this thing? Hey, Norm, can you come out and give me a hand?
Of course.
You like him, Parable the Dragonpuss? I call him a Lawn Norm. He protects my garden from witches' spells and wood trolls. I'm going to make small versions of him and sell them all over. Anyway.
We have canned meat golems.
Mm-hmm.
Different types of golems, you know, wood golems and ice golems and flesh golems. And this one's a canned meat golem. Mm-hmm. There's lots of them. They're like tiny little adipose monsters.
Yeah, it's a great wall of meat.
A great wall. Well, toward the end, yeah, they... You know, they need to be more rampagey, and then they're like the size of a mountain.
Yeah, and then they get more rampagey.
Yeah, so they start off cute, and then there's the running and the screaming.
Exactly. So, Major Monogram's house.
The house.
I mean, we only actually see the bedroom, but I mean, the bedroom, like, apparently Mrs. Monogram doesn't like sleeping with her husband because there are two beds.
Oh my God. You know, honestly, I assume Mrs. Monogram was his mom.
Yeah.
That's weird.
Well, Carl says, you know, I was just down in the kitchen with your wife.
Oh.
And she made me two sandwiches, which were delicious. Carl, did you eat my sandwich?
Carl, what are you doing here?
Your wife said it'd be okay if I came up here and kept you company. Would that be all right?
Let's get back to the story, sir.
You ate my sandwich.
You ate my sandwich.
That's funny.
I always love a good cliffhanger.
Yeah.
Why are you going to leave me hanging on this cliff? Well, that's kind of the idea.
Isabel, if you're going to do something, now would be a nice time.
Carl, you stopped.
I think we need to take a little break.
Wow, bad time for that. You totally left me hanging in that cliff scene.
That's kind of the point, sir.
Oh, I see. Very clever.
Hanger.
I love that.
I mean, the asides are funny. When they break back into Fred Savage, it is funny.
Mm-hmm.
He's got banjo traveling music. Where are they going? Alabama? There's only dueling banjos in Alabama. So mm-hmm. They need a second Carl with a second banjo.
Yeah.
It's like that's the background music in my circus.
You have a circ?
Who doesn't? The saying, not my monkeys, not my circus.
No.
Totally my circus. It's my okay. circus, and there's dueling banjos playing in the background.
It's your circus, and you'll cry if you want to.
Oh, oh, God, I cry. Good times. Oh, so I know you hate Lord of the Rings.
Now, wait a minute here.
This is how we lead this up. This is the segue.
Go ahead, and then I'll defend myself. Go ahead, and then I'll correct you and clarify.
Let me preface with Blanchard hates the Lord of the Rings. I find it funny because, you know, we're introduced to the characters and then we stop at the inn for a quest. Or it's the bar. Is it the bar or the inn? All the D&D stuff, you know, we all stop at the bar for the quest.
All I saw was Mos Eisley, so anyway.
You'll never find a greater hive of scum and villainy.
Yep.
Yeah. So they're in the D&D equivalent of scum and villainy.
Mm-hmm.
Where they find, what's
that? Euphopolis and Belgetalus or whatever their names are.
I hate the fake names. Yeah, I really do. But they find Buford and Belgete.
Essentially, yes.
Essentially, yeah. And I just thought that was funny. Professor Poofenplotz makes an appearance.
She does.
And it's funny because she's guarding the bridge, and I'm like, back to Monty Python and the Holy Grail.
Uh-huh.
You know, if you've never seen it, you might not know, but it's John Cleese.
Oh, yeah.
John Cleese is the great sorcerer who guards the bridge.
She put that bridge in the wrong spot.
She put it in the wrong spot. She totally just phoned that bridge in.
Yeah.
And they didn't even have to answer any questions to get across.
No, they did. It wasn't a question, but it was the haiku.
Oh, he did answer the question. Yeah, I guess so.
He answered
it. That's more of a Sphinx type of thing. It's like a riddle versus a set of questions.
I don't know. What else are you going to do with Poofenplotz? I mean,
again, you got that fantastic John Cleese reference. Yeah.
Uh huh.
There are those who call me Tim.
Mm-hmm.
Tim the Enchanter.
Yes.
Tim the Enchanter. What is your quest? To find the Holy Grail. What is your name? I messed it up. The name comes
first. Yeah, you did.
And then it's a quest. And then it's your favorite color.
So to clarify.
Yes.
And to correct you.
Uh-oh.
I don't hate Lord of the Rings. I read Fellowship of the Ring when I was 14 years old, and I did not get it at all. And the biggest takeaway I have from that book was his 111st birthday. Huh? Oh, he's 111. Well, why not just say that? And I have it's not that I dislike the stuff. I have zero interest in it. There's a huge difference in disliking something and having no interest.
You'd like the movies.
They're too long. I mean, it's bad enough I watched four-hour Transformers movies, let alone Lord of the Rings.
I literally watched with my kids the four-hour extended version of each movie.
You are psychotic.
We watched 12 hours of Lord of the Rings, and it was awesome. In fact, we actually watched one of them, the middle one, I think. We watched half of it, the regular version.
Mm-hmm.
And then we said, screw this, and we went and rented the four-hour version, brought it home. And there are so many like plot holes that are just fixed with the four-hour version.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing.
You are psychotic.
I like Lord of the Rings, so you know, I read it for the first time in college, and everybody, I don't know, how do you not like that? I mean, Peter Jackson, come on, man. Peter Jackson, I mean, even before Peter Jackson did Lord of the Rings, he did some really interesting horror films out of New Zealand that are classics.
Yeah, except just, I'm not a horror fan, so
well, it's horror comedy. I mean, yeah. Anyway, we're getting way off topic here. Let's get back to the never ending story. Literally.
Oh boy. Yeah.
Swamp of the spit poor attitudes. These are attitudes with very dry mouths because they're spit poor.
Yes.
Yeah, I was pretty sure they were going to lose a horse in that swamp. crush my childhood.
At least you wouldn't lose a bookcase in that swamp. It's a horse in a bookcase.
It's in a bookcase. That would be terrible. You know, it wouldn't be bad if there weren't any books in it, honestly, because I think a whole bookcase full of books sinking into the quicksand would be much more traumatic.
Mm-hmm.
Because, of course, they're going to be like, you know, all three of the Lord of the Rings books, you know, first edition, and they're signed by the author. And they're just sinking into the mud, and it would hurt. It would hurt right here. Mm-hmm. This is where my heart is, right here, man.
Even though no one can see this because it's an audio podcast.
It's a thought that counts. Anyway, so we got almost all through this whole episode here. We haven't talked about Perry once.
Yeah, Parable the Dragon Puss.
Ah, so lame.
Okay, so a couple of things. Parable the Dragon Puss. Okay, I get it. They're trying to, you know, make him of the times.
There are no platypuses in medieval times.
No, and that's fine.
Until 1805.
Yeah, and that's fine. Here's normally I try my best not to nitpick certain things with this show because I'm trying to have fun with it, but this one I just cannot let go. Just like I cannot let go, where in the hell, besides antiquing, do the Flynn Fletchers get their finances from to afford all the stuff that they do and buy and whatever?
Mm-hmm.
Here's a problem I have with this episode, and it's just minor. It's not going to affect my overall rating. It's not a major chord or anything like that. It's a very minor chord here. Mom, Linda, whatever you want to call her in this, because they're supposed to, the way they present this is that they're not themselves. They are themselves, but they're not themselves.
Yeah.
And she says, Candivere, where is that maid? And
she's made a maid?
Yes, and it's made to...
No.
She said that's exactly what Linda says.
She's not the maid, like, you know, she cleans up after everybody. You know, it's the maid. She's like a maiden.
No. No maidens have to fetch water for their mothers. I mean, unless you're, you know, Rapunzel or something. But no, seriously... She says, where is that maid?
Candivere, I need you to fetch me some more water. Candivere. Oh, where is that maid?
All right, sure. Maybe if you take it literally. I didn't take it literally. I thought it was like maiden.
Mm-hmm.
Where's the maiden? She's not like Fran Drescher.
She
That's a reference to a really old
I know.
Where She's the Maid. Was that the name of the show? She's the Maid?
No. It was called The Nanny.
Oh. Woof. Because that would be really just condescending. Anyway. Ferb's line. Ferb had a good line. I wrote it down, but I'm just like, I can't do Ferb's accent, so I'm not going to. It's just funny. Mm-hmm. Get a good look at it, for it's the instrument of your demise. And I'm like, yeah, that's cool. And he didn't stop. He kept going. But the Vorpal blade that goes snicker snack.
Yeah, keep going. The Vorpal blade that basically falls apart.
And yeah, he's like, oh, great. So the end's off. Mm-hmm. I laughed so hard. But, you know, British accents, you know, they can't help but be funny. That's why I like Monty Python.
Mm-hmm.
And like Doctor Who.
Exactly. So did you know that Linda's name in this is Lindarella?
Yes.
Yeah.
Because they said so in the credits.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. She's definitely calling Candace a maid. So, yes.
You spent the last 5 minutes looking that up, didn't you?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Pretty much, yep.
When I stick a meatling on you.
I don't think so. You can take your meat minions and I'll, you know, face them off with my despicable meme minions and I'll win.
They're the size of mountains, man. They're like literally, it's like a mountain meatling. It's a mountainling. Nobody expects the Spanish Inquisition.
But we should have.
There's a bit, another Monty Python bit. I'm really beating this dead horse. The Spanish Inquisition runs in and he says, our chief weapon is fear, and fear and surprise. Surprise is the second one. Our two chief weapons are fear and surprise and a ruthless. Oh, wait. Oh, three chief weapons are, you know, and they kind of go on like that. But, it just made me giggle because Doofenshmirtz is naming all the things that he's afraid of, and it just kind of gets monotonous after a while. And then he turns around and and then Candace is an amalgamation of all the things
that he's afraid of. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah.
Well, because she kept drinking all these elixirs and potions and. What I love is how she's like, "Oh, that's not oh." Like every time you hear a potion. punctuation. Oh, that's not good. Like, oh boy.
Exactly.
My favorite.
I just grew something else, and it's not a good thing.
Yeah, no. My favorite thing that Maleficent does is when he's walking down the thing, and rah 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 is what I said when you couldn't hear me walking down. I thought that was clever. I thought that was funny.
Let me tell you about my plan for seizing control of the Tri-Kingdom area. You see, I was bullfrog hunting down by the ratcatcher shack and came across the biggest raspberry I've ever seen. It was the size of a cucumber. Is what I said because I had a gag over my mouth. And that's why I decided to take over the Tri-Kingdom area.
What's funny, though, is he has a keep inside his castle. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It just seems like an odd thing to have inside. It's like a lot of things. Floor must be like 6 floors tall.
Mm. Yeah, there's a lot of things that Doofenshmirtz does that just seem odd.
Yeah.
And I remember this, and I love this absolutely so much. It's so funny. The epic monster battle song.
Yes.
Now, for truth, the battle is over, and evil's reign is done. Our hero stands triumphant. No, wait, I was wrong. He's up again. I'm like, oh, my God. Yeah, I feel reasonably sure it's over this time. What do you guys think? Oh, wait, he's up again. I love that. I thought that was so hilarious.
Yeah.
And then poor Carl. Carl never gets any comeuppance. He really doesn't.
Carl's like, now we're gonna get all fanficky, and here's my Mary Sue character. It's like, shut up, Carl. You can't have your Mary Sue character.
Sir, you're crushing my spirit. Yes, yes, I am.
Yes, I am. But giant kaiju battles. I mean, now we're talking.
King Kong had beat them all.
Oh, no. Oh, please. Yeah, maybe these two. These two aren't that important. giant dragon giant dragon Perry is kind of cool, though.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
He's ripped. He has these abs, six pack, and he's like...
That's right.
Flying around, breathing fire. And then hairband power cords. That's my jam.
Okay, Brett Michaels.
Vince Neil, thank you very much. My cowboy hat.
Oh, Lord.
And my permanent eyelashes and the permanent eyeliner and the very best hair money can buy.
So I guess you would rather be Dee Snider.
Oh, my God, Dee Snider. Who doesn't want to be Dee Snider? Holy cow.
Okay. What are you going to rate this thing?
I give this one a 5 for Lord of the Rings and 80s band that played at the battle song at the end. And the Monty Python references. Actually, I think Lord of the Rings is the name of the 80s band that played the battle song at the end.
I don't even know. I'm not even looking anymore. I had the whole song article up and I didn't even check it. I'm going to give it a 3.5. I enjoyed it, but it's not one of those episodes. I mean, 3.5 is not bad. It's, you know, it's still a good rating.
Yeah, but by virtue of the fact that it's a double episode, you have to give it a 5.
No, I don't. No, it isn't. All right, we're going to take a quick break, and we're going to come back with the monster, or monster from the id, after this. Man, what an ego on that guy.
Ooh, here he comes. Oh, Jeremy, how can you even make walking to a bus stop cute? Yeah,
I'm a lucky, lucky gal.
Oh, no, he dropped something. Jeremy! Jeremy! Jeremy, wait, you dropped... Wait! Jeremy, you dropped something outside my house, and it kind of looks, artsy.
Sounds like the gift I made you.
Gift? Well, you didn't have to make...
Uh-oh, we're passing the antenna farm. I'm losing you.
My feelings are heating up.
Jeremy? Jeremy? Aw.
Monster from the id. After losing a gift that Jeremy made for her, Candace is determined to recreate it before Jeremy realizes it's missing. Unfortunately, Candace can't remember what it looks like. So she enlists Phineas and Ferb to use their mind machine to enter into her subconscious and recapture the memory. Meanwhile, Dr. Doofenshmirtz's evil plan to use his underwearinator to take over the tri-state area, since everyone's greatest fear is being caught in public in their underwear.
Is it really?
Hell, at this point, I'll just be scared to death of being caught naked, so there's no whatever. I knew this episode was going to bring up certain things. It's a good thing this podcast is explicit. But seriously, whole plot over underwear, really?
I walk around in my underwear in front of our plate glass window all the time, and that's why they call it hanging out at the Wilsons.
Yeah. Doofenshmirtz Evil Incorporated!
Eating cereal looks like this. Perry the Platypus, you're early.
Listen to the 80s hair bands just sliding around in my socks.
Mm-hmm.
I got hardwood floors. It works.
Yeah, I know. Next thing you know, you're going to have to use a cucumber as a microphone and be lip syncing to old time rock and roll.
Rock and roll. There's no 80s hair band, old time rock and roll. Not really.
Bob Seger and the Silver Bullet Band, man.
That's Bob Seger? Oh my God.
Seriously, you don't know that old time rock and roll is Bob Seger? How do you not know that?
Not like a rock. I mean.
Oh God, that song. Oh, shut up. Anyway, Monster from the id. Oh boy. This episode.
It's trippy. Trippy.
Yeah, it's very trippy.
Got and dark hey, look. Hair all of a sudden.
Yeah. And Buford has a girlfriend. By the end of it, it's Candace's id.
Buford finds love in the most unlikely of places.
Uh-huh.
That sounds like another Bob Seger song.
No, it's not.
So it's just kind of strange. It's like, all right, everybody just wander into the yard and, you know, jack into Candace's brain.
Mm-hmm.
It's like everybody's there, just hanging out.
Well, originally they were going to solve Valjeet's contraction problem, but that ain't going to happen anytime soon because they don't want to be where they weren't. I don't know.
I thought they were kind of like making fun of his accent.
No, just no.
A little bit, because he cannot say the words that aren't one word.
He has a problem with contractions.
It's like taking two perfectly good words and decapitating them, merging them together into one Frankenstein monster of a word.
Mm-hmm. And he has a problem with that. So,
all right. Okay. Seems like everybody had a little bit of a problem. You know,
yep.
Lavender and...
Lavender. Friggin' Irving.
I don't understand Lavender. I'm afraid of Lavender. It's like, I'm afraid of the sound of one hand clapping. Oh, no. Right around in circles.
This is me clapping my face with one hand.
With one hand. Boy, I think I heard that. You all right?
Yeah, no, I'm fine. I mean, what was I going to do? Do it against the microphone? That would be stupid, which I'm doing right now.
I have no idea.
I mean, that would just be dumb.
I'm like, so confused.
One hand clapping. I guess technically, I do have one hand clapping because my right hand can't actually go into my left hand, but I can just smack the back of my right hand to make it sound like I'm clapping.
Waving. It's like, if a tree falls in the forest and there's no one to hear it, does it make a sound?
It still says Doofenshmirtz.
This is Doofenshmirtz. it's funny. Oh, this is so much fun. Okay, stop. The underwear-inator. Underwear-inator. That's actually evil. I mean, it's evil, and its sole purpose is to embarrass you. That's kind of evil.
Yeah, it is, but he thinks he's going to take over the tri-state area like that? Seriously? Really? Like, he's had better plans that could have succeeded.
I thought he was just being evil for the sake of being evil this time. I don't know.
I don't think
it has so. Has an extra ratty setting. I mean, no, evil.
Almost ready, Perry the Platypus. Just a few more adjustments. And putting an extra ratty setting on the underwear, Nathan. So embarrassing.
I just find that disgusting. I don't find it evil.
Well, what's funny is when they're falling off your body and you have to clip them on with safety pins and
bunch them up under your pants. Oh, God.
Exactly. Not even like clean underwear. It's like moth holes in them. It's just rude. Because, if it was like a clean, tidy-whitey inator, that wouldn't be so bad. It's like, zap. Oh, look, I got new underwear. I haven't thought to buy myself underwear in like 3 years, and suddenly I got a clean pair.
One thing in 104 days, 104 podcasts, I never thought we would ever be talking about is Furman underwear.
All right, we'll talk about something else. Deep Into Your Mind, the song, right?
Yes.
Sounds a bit like an Alice Cooper song.
Pretty much, yeah.
And it's not, but I'm going to pretend that it is.
I do love Ferb's line here, though. When Candace is like, what's that? It's all of Candace's anxieties. There are so many of them. She has a rich internal life, is what Ferb says.
Rich internal life. But there's so much else going on. I mean, besides the land of insecurities, it's like we get the not Kevin Zebra.
No, 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 no. Exactly.
It's
because
not Kevin.
It's not the zebra. It's what I've been saying all 104 days. I've been saying this. He calls her Kevin. The zebra doesn't have a name. The zebra calls Candace Kevin. And that's this episode proves it.
Yeah, he's like, hello, Kevin. You know, it'd be funny if you like found out after the fact that like Patrick Stewart was the voice of Kevin the Zebra or something like that. It's like oh, we need somebody rich and famous or somebody, you know, that you'd never expect to do voiceover work. Although you would expect Patrick Stewart to do it.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's Patrick Stewart.
How do you not know?
Like a zebra that says, "Hello, Kevin." It's like, oh, it's Patrick Stewart. Oh, my God. Or like they'd probably chintz out and do like Nathan Fillion. It's like, I didn't recognize him.
Oh, guess what?
What? Nathan Fillion's the voice of Not Kevin?
No, I haven't found that yet. But the monster from the id is the zebra's final appearance, and he is voiced by Jeff Bennett.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
All right, well, that's not nearly as exciting as, like, you know.
I mean, Jeff Bennett has done an amazing body of work. I don't want to, you know.
Yeah. It's not like Mark Hamill making a guest appearance, you know.
Well, right? But oh my God.
Who voices the giant floating baby head?
Nobody, because the giant floating baby head doesn't talk.
It's a non-speaking role.
Exactly. Yeah, Jeff Bennett, best known as Johnny Bravo.
Oh!
But he was also Dad in Dexter's Laboratory.
Nice.
You know, he's been in a bunch of stuff. He was the voice of the man in the yellow hat in the PBS Kids TV series, Curious George. Yeah, he is just as prolific as other voice actors, maybe not Mark Hamill, but if, you know, but, you know, I mean, Mark Hamill has the Joker and Luke Skywalker, so we shall miss you, Jeff Bennett the Zebra.
I like the Zebra. I like the Zebra more than the giant floating baby head, but
it's just kind of funny and ironic when the giant floating baby head shows up, because I think he's always there in the background.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Anyway, so you know what's funny is the whole MacGuffin for this episode, right? Mm-hmm. Is the bracelet that Candace is searching for, and she doesn't know, she can't remember what it looks like, so she has to go searching through her brain until they find it, and they find it, and it turns out that it's a drain unclogger. It's Jeremy's drain unclogger that he never leaves the house without, and
apparently.
It looks suspiciously like a plumbus.
Maybe Mario and Luigi should be using it.
Not a plumber, a plumbus.
Okay, then. Well, if it is a drain unclogger, I mean, Mario and Luigi could use it.
I suppose.
I don't know.
Yeah. Well, you know, they have those things in bathrooms and such.
Right.
You're not going to bite, are you?
No, I'm not. There's too much bathroom humor. There's too much underwear. Too much innate.
Right.
Too much everything.
All right. I'll just leave that alone and give you a reminder that I'm a fan of Rick and Morty.
Yeah. And okay. I make you a reminder that, whatever.
You haven't even watched it yet, hush you.
That's what I'm saying is,
right,
Rick and Morty is on the same scale as Lord of the Rings for me. I'll get to it when I get to it. I have no real interest.
So what would you give this one?
2.5.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
All right. I was going to give it a 4 for Alice Cooper. Are
we sure that's Alice Cooper?
It's not Alice Cooper, but I'm going to pretend it is.
Deep into your mind, right?
Sounds a bit like an Alice Cooper song. I mean, you know, but then again, I mean, not like early 70s Alice Cooper, more like 80s Alice Cooper.
Yeah, more like,
Yeah, like it's his first comeback tour type 80s, mid 80s, right?
Mm-hmm.
It was mid 80s, yeah. Kind of like that, more like that.
Hmm. It does not list who actually sings it, but okay.
Well, it wasn't Alice Cooper. I know that, but, you know.
Well, right. I mean, I'm sure it's one of the voices, but, you know, still, it should show on here.
Cooper has more of a growl to him, you know, more of a little more nasally. Deep into your mind. Yeah. Something like that.
God, you started to sound like Crim Zeke there for a minute.
Crim Zeke!
All right, we're going to head on over to the last episode, which, oh, God.
Could it score worse than 2.5?
Most likely it will.
This whole episode just...
Yeah, I'm sorry, folks. It's just, these are not... Like, I like Excalibur, and I liked watching it for this purpose, but Excalibur is not one of the episodes, not one of the longer episodes that I would go back and watch again. It's not bad, but it's not something I... Too much grail. Anyway.
Too graily.
Yeah, too graily.
I got a little something caught right here in my teeth. It's a grail.
Yeah, it's a lot of grails. You have chosen poorly. Last up tonight is Giants.
So, Candace, you made a teddy bear at a baklava.
Yeah, bears like honey, baklava's made with honey.
Oh, so it's like a statement?
You think it's weird, don't you?
No, not weird. It's just... Oh, wait, I got a customer, Candace. I'll call you later, okay?
He thinks it's weird. Why is it that when Phineas and Ferb have an idea, everyone's like, oh, wow, you guys are really clever. And when I come up with something, everyone goes, what? Did you say something, Candace? Oh, you know what I'm talking about, baklava bear.
Ew! Hey, Candace, did you just see a chicken wearing a baseball hat run by here?
No, why?
It was his turn to bat. Ooh. Are you still using these ants?
Those aren't my ants. Do whatever you want with them.
Look, Ferb, wouldn't it be great to be part of an ant society? They're so efficient and productive. They're like tiny usses.
Why? Who on the staff, besides Dan and Swampy, because I don't know what their predilections are, but who on the staff has a thing for insects and bugs, and why do... Oh, God. I don't know.
I kind of liken this to, you know, like the black and white 50s horror movies where you get the giant ants that attack the city. Mm-hmm. And it's either like a stop-motion ant or, like a giant foam ant head, like coming into frame through a window or something, and you're like, and everyone's like, "Oh no!" and waving their hands. Yeah, something like that.
Thinking it would be cool to be part of an ant society. I don't know why, Phineas. Phineas and Ferb create the infiltrate the Antilus Maximus.
Infiltrate the
A massive ant farm filled with giants. Suspecting that the boys are up to something, Candace accidentally, not really, drenches herself in the ant pheromones and follows them inside, and she becomes their queen and blah, 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 blah. It's the same thing as Mars. Doofenshmirtz feels he's tired and lethargic after eating turkey and decides to create a turkeyinator that will create a sleeping epidemic in Danville by turning things into giant irresistible turkeys. Okay, first you have the nearest chicken. Now you have the giant irresistible turkeys.
You know, it just occurred to me, he could have single-handedly solved world hunger.
He could have, but he didn't, because he's evil.
I suppose, but I mean, you know, you could literally turn this into a food production device that would feed everyone. I mean, granted, it'd be turkey, and you'd very quickly get sick of turkey, like the second week of after Thanksgiving, but world hunger.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Giants in the giant ant farm.
Yeah. Do you think the ants will return someday? Yes, probably while we're having a picnic.
Oh.
That's Ferb's line.
Yeah, that's Ferb's line. Okay.
Yeah.
Did anybody else think Fortress Maximus?
I did not.
Just the Transformer fans here.
Even as a Transformers fan, I did not think of Fortress Maximus at all.
Because that's what I was thinking. I thought it's a giant fortress of giant ants.
Yeah. Sorry, I can't help you there.
I'm going to put that in the wiki. It's such a stretch. It belongs in the wiki. Pardon the Thanksgiving-themed trap.
Yes.
It's a Thanksgiving episode. Is there such a thing as a Thanksgiving episode, or is this just...
No, there is.
Technically, this came after the Christmas episode. Well,
true. Both Christmas episodes, actually. However, you know, I think, like, Doofenshmirtz's, his logic behind it is the trip to fun. Because it's so fun to create an innator that's going to put people to sleep.
The trip to fun.
Most of his backstories put me to sleep. Just tell everybody your backstories, Dr. Doofenshmirtz, and that'll put people to sleep. As long as the wild ocelots don't attack everybody.
Wild and the lawn gnomes.
The lawn norms is...
Lawn like, norm. I think his backstory would have been less tragic if he'd had Norm earlier in life, you know?
Maybe if Norm gave birth to him out of Norm's squirrel stomach or squirrel heart, sure, but I don't know.
It got weird. Really quick. So, with the giant ants, I was thinking of a Honey, I Shrunk the Candace.
Uh-huh, yep.
Because, you know.
Except, sadly, the things in Honey, I Shrunk the Kids did not make Rick Moranis their king.
I think we've all made Rick Moranis our king. You know, in retrospect, I think.
He is a badass Ghostbuster, so there is that.
Oh, really? You're going to go with that, huh?
Hey. That's
a favorite reference.
Who's the one that ends up with Annie Potts at the end of that? Okay, that's Lewis. That Lewis dude is a badass. He stands up to Slimer.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Annie Potts was pretty hot back in the day. I mean, you know, not gonna lie.
When she showed up as Sheldon's grandma on Young Sheldon.
I know.
I was like, hey.
I was actually thinking that they make her look a lot older than she is on that show.
Probably.
Yeah. Because it's like, you know. Grandma's not looking too bad. You know? good times. So they have a song called Ants.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I swear I thought they were saying ass. Ass. Like what? What are they saying?
No.
Ass. It's like this episode. It's just.
This episode of the podcast or this episode of the show? Of the cartoon yes. show?
Yes, sir. Yes.
Yeah.
Ass. Actually, I'm having a lot of fun this episode. I wouldn't call it ass. We always have fun.
Exactly. We try our best. So yeah. In October of this year, Miss Annie Potts will be 69 years old.
Oh, wow. Really? She really is as old as she looks on the show. That's funny.
Yeah, I didn't realize.
Okay, yeah. Well, you know, she wasn't like Sigourney Weaver back in the day, but she was still attractive.
She was the designing woman, don't you know?
Rick Moranis did not do poorly.
No, he did not. He chose wisely. And besides, I mean, she was a designing woman, don't you know? So
I did not watch Designing Women.
Oh, I love that show.
Is that one with Bea Arthur?
No. That's Golden Girls. Designing Women was her, Delta Burke.
Delta Burke, yeah.
Yeah, Dixie Carter.
Who?
Dixie, you'd know her if you heard
it's
her.
Like her Star Lord, man, intergalactic criminal Star Lord.
No,
ooh,
no.
Yeah, I don't know. I never watched that show.
Well, you should.
Sorry, I'm just not.
It's very funny. It's a funny '80s sitcom comedy thing. It's more adult humor than kid humor, but most '80s sitcoms are adult humor than kid humor.
Yeah. Yeah, you just can't get away with that type of thing anymore. No. You know what's funny? I just realized the 80s was 40 years ago.
It's 41 years ago, actually.
Oh, I'm old.
Oh, shut the hell up. As of this recording, I am a week away from my 41st birthday. So,
oh my gosh. Yeah. Happy birthday.
As of this recording.
Thanks. So,
yeah. Hell, I might put this out on my birthday. That way I can say, okay, March 9th is the deadline for the end of this podcast. We have 30 days. We have 30 days to finish this show.
That's funny. Candace is the most progressive queen ever. It's just funny because it's like, how many times has she been made queen of a society now? And
twice.
Maybe, this it, and well, the mom says, oh, Candace, just like on Mars.
Mm-hmm.
So it was at least once. Only twice, really?
Yeah, this and Mars. The
I was queen positive of the there was a third.
No, not yet anyway.
Oh.
Nope.
Mars, wasn't she? No, maybe this was a, yeah, maybe.
Yeah, I don't know. It was Mars and this. So far, she's been queen twice.
Hmm. All right.
Mm-hmm.
You can check the wiki?
No.
Do you want to close this out while you check the wiki?
I don't even have the wiki up. You can ask my lovely ex-wife. I don't even have the wiki up. I have my document up so I can write down your score.
Oh, I have a score. Okay. Oh, one more thing before I give you the score. Nah, never mind.
Okay.
Well, no, the Turkeyinator hits the ant farm and turns it into a snack for the ants before they evolve into the singularity.
Yes.
Because, you know, if you know what the singularity is, then...
Mm-hmm. It's the Anthill Mob 9000. Be careful.
9000.
That's both a Penelope Pit Stop joke and a 2001 joke at the same time. It's the Anthill Mob 9000. The Anthill Mob were the guys trying to save Penelope Pit Stop from Dick Dastardly.
Yeah. In the.
Yeah.
Okay, so I give this one a 2 for not being good.
I'm right there with you. I do not. I hope we don't have any more giant bug episodes or anything like that, because I'm like, my giant bug Phineas and Ferb meter peaked when Baljeet, you know, pulled a Luke out of a fly's ass and he had to hatch in the ceiling because he was cold.
I did what I had to do to survive.
Yeah, well, go get yourself a French tontor.
Tontor. I shall taunt on you a second time.
That's right.
Oh, that would have been good for the last words. Darn, I wasted it.
Yeah, you did. We'll be back after this.
Balls of anxiety.
Is my neck too long? Is it okay that I wear the same dress every day?
What's that?
It is all of Candace's anxieties.
There are so many of them.
She has a rich internal life.
Yeah, she's really messed up.
Buford?
What's he doing?
He just showed up and jacked in.
Because the world needs another movie podcast.
The GeekCast Radio Network presents for your listening pleasure, The Cinema Geek.
Hosted by Amanda, Kevin, Matt, and Dan.
Each week we dive headfirst in the landscape of movies as we discuss movie news,
play movie games,
go in-depth on reviews,
and even have a top 10 countdown or two.
Also, don't miss our director retrospective series, where we review noted directors' movies film by film.
Bottom line is, if you love movies and love podcasts, you need to experience The Cinema Geeks.
You can find us on iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, or geekcastradio.com.
Do you like retro cartoons? Then Saturday Morning Rewind is the podcast for you. Join them each month as they talk about classic cartoons and interview legendary voice actors like Jim Cummings.
I am the terror that flaps in the night.
Corey Burton.
Sometimes times can be so funny.
Rob Paulsen.
Sure, Dwayne, but how are we going to find chaps our size?
Nancy Cartwright and many more.
Eat my shorts.
So grab a bowl of Lucky Charms.
They're magically delicious.
Put on your hammer pants. Go to SaturdayMorningRewind.com. And be prepared to feel like a kid again. Yay! Once again, that's SaturdayMorningRewind.com. Saturday Morning Rewind was voted best podcast ever by its host, Tim Nidell. So it's gotta be good.
DeCian, the superhero webcomic. DeCian's got superhero antics and sexy girls.
for action, comedy, mayhem, and more. Read it now at DASIEN.com. DASIEN.com.
On the Simplistic Reviews podcast, we talk movies. We talk TV. We talk.
Hello, Julie, what the heck are you doing?
Trying to make our spot sound more exciting by adding explosions.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you could have got the point across with sound effects, not the real thing.
Car.
Download the show on iTunes or at simplisticreviews.blogspot.com.
I'm sure your insurance company will cover that.
No, they won't.
No, they probably won't.
You can't come in here.
It's a free country.
No, it's not. It's my head. And you're getting crumbs all over. All over crap.
What's wrong with her?
The anxieties are getting to her.
Hurry, everyone. Through the falls. The palms of sweatiness.
The heartbeats of hyperventilation.
Rubber ducks?
Do not ask me. It is your subconscious.
Yeah, I'll catch you later. I'm keeping my hoagie dry.
Hey, Buford.
Hey, Isabella. You just get here?
Yep.
Let me show you around. This place is a riot.
We are back. Thank you for joining us here on Palka. I'm not letting Michael talk anymore because he's just had so many horrible, horrible outtakes that I'll be using later.
There's it's the alcohol. Ways of
content. Wait, you're drinking? Oh, God. You and your 400-proof alcohol. There are several ways to get in contact with us or leave feedback for the show. Visit the website, geekcastradio.com, where you can comment on this and all of our other episode posts from this show and all the other podcasts we do. Send email to feedback@geekcastradio.com. Here are all the ways you can listen to us nowadays. Apple and Google Podcasts, Spotify, and of course, the home where our files exist, Spreaker. You can also use any other podcatching client you choose. However, I prefer you use one of those. Leave the show's feedback in iTunes. I did not check this time, so hopefully by next time I'll have checked and there'll be a new one, but I doubt it. Follow us on Twitter. I am at TFG and Mike. You can follow at Geekcast Radio for all the other network updates. What is your Twitter?
PeconCT Michael.
Become a fan on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/GeekcastRadioNetwork. We hope you enjoyed this episode of Palka and wish you'll join us next time when we will be giving you our thoughts on the next episodes of Phineas and Ferb Season 3, which include Agent Doof, Phineas and Ferb and the Temple of Watchadoon, Delivery of Destiny, and Let's Bounce. Because we got to go on this show, folks, because, oh my God, we're going to get so many negative stars off this podcast. For now, I'm TFG and Mike with
Michael Wilson.
Thank you for listening. We will catch you next time.
I always wondered how they made plumbuses.
I'll give you a plumbus.
But wait, there's more!
You're still taking away my hermaphroditic porn joke from Clerks at this point. Yeah, well, go get yourself a French tontor.
Tontor. I shall taunt on you a second time.
That's right. Say it again.
Aren't you a little young to be a podcaster?
No, I'm not. Aren't you a little old to be watching this cartoon show?
Yes, I am. It's good to see the nation's senior citizens taking an interest in cartooning.
Yes, it is.
Yes, it is.
There's not really any more. That's about it.